Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. In this space with one another, would you be present to who we are, all that we are in this moment here and now as we gather to worship, to glorify, to seek, and to grow? Would you give encouragement to those of us who need encouragement? Would you give strength to those of us who feel weak? Would you bring healing to those of us suffering? Would you bring conviction to the ways that we need to be transformed? Would you provide for all of us who are needing your great provision? Lord, would your kingdom come and would your will be done in our world, in our nation, in our city, in our community, and inside each one of us? Move in each of us to see the hurting, to see the broken, the outcast, the sick, and to walk alongside one another through this journey you have placed us on. To yours be the honor, the glory, and the praise forever and ever. Amen.
Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Brothers and sisters, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joshua. You may have a seat. Let's give the band another round of applause, yeah? That is amazing. I would like them to follow me around all week. Just, especially Justin on that electric guitar. Just, whenever I'm feeling down. Justin and I are side by side. We share an office wall. So this week I went like this. I did this. I went... Thank you. Joyful and triumphant. He said, no, absolutely not. No melody. And I said, well, you know, so this week I'll just say goodbye yesterday and see if he will follow me. How about that? He's like long gone. He's not even hearing me. He's like, I don't even listen when Melody talks. Well, welcome. I am Melody Anderson. I am one of the pastors here. Welcome this morning. We are happy to see you. We are happy to share a space with you. Are you glad to be here? Yes. Yeah, you're rocking out this morning. A couple of things. If you are visiting, if you are here for the first time, second time, third time, 14th time, and you have not filled out a Connect card, there is one in the seat back pocket in front of you. Please make sure you do that. I think we have them for the screen here. There you go. Please print your name, your email, today's date, and how we can contact you. We won't send you any sort of spam, but one of the pastors will connect with you. We like to do that. The other thing that you will see is a prayer card. Now, there has been some confusion about this. We believe, first and foremost here at New Song, that prayer comes before all. And we pray. We pray when there's something to be concerned about. We pray when there's something to celebrate. We pray for everything in between. However, you need to mark clearly where you want your prayer request to be shared. We have a website where we also have a prayer wall where you can submit your prayer request there too. You can do prayer email only. We send out a prayer email, usually Monday, sometimes Tuesday, and that goes to our prayer team. You can also do anonymously on prayer wall, or if your request is not there, just mark clearly. You know, for pastors only, or for, you know, whatever the situation may be, We just don't want to put anything out there that shouldn't be out there. Is that pretty clear? Yes? Okay, so thank you. All of those things, the prayer card, connect card, and lastly, we have a giving envelope. If you choose to partner with New Song and its mission and vision and all the ministries that happen here that we're going to talk about a little bit today, all those things can go in. There's two boxes in the foyer. There's one on the wall, and there's one that is freestanding. So please make sure you put all of those things in there. Okay, a couple announcements before I start preaching here. It is Soup Sunday, my friends. Yeah? I brought not one, but two soups today. Let's see. Chris wanted to bring one, and I was like, I am not putting my name on that. So if you want to bring that one, you are solo on that. He decided against it, but I strongly encouraged it. But it is also Community Sunday, where we have the children in here with us. So as we have said a couple Sundays in a row, if the noise happens to bother you, you should know very clearly it does not bother the preacher that is up here for the morning. We encourage children to be children. And if they're out of control and unruly, well, then sure. But they're going to talk. They're going to make a little bit of noise. If that bothers you, you can go ahead and move your seat, and that'll take care of that. The other thing that I have to say this morning that Grant and I drew straws on, and unfortunately, I have drew the short straw. So it has been brought to our attention that on Soup Sunday, we're so excited to get to soup that some of us have gotten in the line maybe even before the preaching is done. So I'm not looking anywhere. I'm going to turn around when I say this. But we're going to pretend we're at Disneyland on Soup Sundays, okay? Please wait until the service has come to a full and complete stop, all right? And that is when the blessing is over. We want to be just a community of people. We are not in competition with each other here. I know some of us may have somewhere to go right afterwards. But as soon as the blessing is over, then you are invited to get in line. Also, the students, you know, who serve, you know, they're instructed not to do so until the service is done. So let's do that together. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So let's get going here. So several years in a row, for a few years in a row, my kids and I would host a lemonade stand. Yeah, you've seen a lemonade stand here and there? Some of you actually stopped by. I have a picture here of my cute kids. Look at them. Lemonade stand. At that point, everything was 50 cents or so. And I got a picture here so you can see the enthusiasm. A little close up, a little closer. Look at that. Look at those faces. Look at Joshy's face there. You would never think he was the young man who read scripture this morning, huh? Look at that excitement in his face. Well, we were so excited because this was not a typical lemonade stand. We didn't just have lemonade. We served up Dole Whip, too. My top secret recipe. I made it for many years in a row. And we actually made a lot of money. This particular year, we made almost $400. Yeah. We know how to sell it. So we started these lemonade stands, not so that my kids could have some extra spending money, but several years ago when I took over leading the pantry ministry, we decided to do something to be able to support the kids that came to pantry, the students that were there. And so we didn't want to necessarily, you know, use church funds for that. So we decided, let's do a lemonade stand. And so when we were done with the lemonade stand, we'd go to Target or Walmart. I think in the next picture, we're actually at Walmart buying some school supplies. Look how cute they are. And to them, it was just so thrilling. It was just a fun experience to, you know, buy the supplies for the lemonade stand, squeeze the lemonades, wave at cars, stop at people, see their friends, stop by. They also got their fair share of Dole Whip as well. But after a few years of, you know, sticky counters and kind of a mess, we decided to change up the menu, and we decided to go ahead and do Clara's cookies and Abby's applesauce. Now, this is inflation, so our prices went up a little bit, okay? Now, everything was $2. That's my brother back there in the background. He was around for that one. And the big kids were a little cool by this point, so they were promoted to management, right? So homemade applesauce and cookies, and don't ask me why I thought applesauce and cookies would be cleaner, easier, cheaper, because in fact, it was not. It was not at all easier. It was, in fact, more costly and more complicated. But again, we made good money for a good cause. And after several years of doing this, I kind of got a little bit weary of doing this. You know, it was a lot of effort. It was a lot of time. It was a lot of energy, a lot of money. And I started to kind of hope my kids would forget about doing this, right? Have you ever done that? Like, oh, I hope this person doesn't ask me about this, right? And I was kind of hoping that they might forget about it. Yes, it was a good cause again, but it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work to clean up, to put together. But sure enough, they didn't forget about it, and we did it for several years. So this is the same event, right? The same people, but totally different attitudes, a totally different posture. After a while, it became a completely different posture because my kids looked at this opportunity with delight and with wonder. And I, as the adult, somewhere along the way, and again, mostly because of time, energy, investment it took out of me, I kind of lost the delight and I lost the wonder. Have you ever had an experience like that? I think we can say we have. And I think we can say as we get older, right, some of the things that maybe were shiny and fun and all these things start to lose some of its shine. Yes? So, you know, as I've gotten older, this has happened. Now, here at New Song, right now we're in the middle of this series called Side by Side, Building Community Through the One Another Life. And we have talked about loving one another. We have talked about encouraging one another. And today, we are talking about serving one another. And these themes are coming directly from Jesus, who calls us to do these things and who calls us to live radically different. And I think that sometimes when we're in church, if we are churchgoers, you know, we might have heard these themes before, yes? We might have heard these, or is this the first time you're hearing all about it? No, right? You've heard love one another, encourage one another, serve one another. And I think we could have three possible reactions to this. The first reaction is you might think, yes, good, let's talk about it because others need to hear all about it. Number two, you might react to these themes with a little bit of numbness, right? Or a little bit of, like Melody, a little bit of dread, because you've heard it all before. And you might think, oh great, what's coming after the service? Let's see. Or three, you might react with some childlike wonder, and you might react with possibly some excitement, despite the time and investment and energy that it will take. So don't tell me which one of these reactions you resonate most with. That's actually in your fill in the blank, if you have one. If you don't have one, there's some on the back table right there for you to fill in. I said circle the one that you most resonate with, and let's talk about that. But I think today, in this time, in this space, and in this place, if we are open to the living word of God, if we are open to the message that God has just for us this morning, I think it can do number three for all of us. Perhaps spark a childlike wonder and delight despite the time, energy, and investment. And these themes are essential to what New Song is. They are essential to what we believe. They are essential to what we hope and what we pray for to be known in this community. It's part of our DNA here at New Song. And if you're here, it's part of your DNA too. So shall we pray this morning that we see these themes maybe with some joy and delight? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we jump into exploring serving one another this morning, God, I pray that you will just spark something, a word, a moment, a verse, Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would spark just wonder and delight, perhaps, Lord, as we see and hear some of these things. Lord, would you speak to each and every one of us this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, serve one another. I'm going to put up all the ministries here. Well, I'm not going to do it. The tech booth is going to do it. These are all the ministries we have here at New Song Church. And if I left one off, I'm really sorry, but I think I got them all. These are all the ministries. They're listed here. So, at the end of this sermon, I'm actually not going to ask you to volunteer for a ministry. And at the end of the sermon, I'm not going to have you fill out another card in front of you and say, hey, listen, tell me which ministry you want to volunteer for. It is not a volunteer Sunday, so you can breathe easy. The church doesn't need volunteers. Doesn't want volunteers. We don't run on volunteers because the word volunteer does not actually appear in the Bible. It does not appear in the Bible anywhere. The word that does come out about 900 times is the word servant. So this is Servant Sunday, my friends. This is Servant Sunday. God does not use that word casually. It's not a footnote. It's not a, oh, this is this translation. No, from Moses to Jesus to Paul, servanthood is built into the divine story. It is built into that. Serve one another isn't just a suggestion. It's part of our identity. So when we talk today about what it means to serve one another, right here, right now, we are not stepping into something perhaps extra, okay? We're not stepping into something extra. We're stepping into what God himself calls us to be. So the church, this church, right? Did you get that? We don't want volunteers. We don't need volunteers. We want and we need servants. Yes? Would you agree to that? Whatever it is, whatever people are willing to do, that's what is needed with a servant's heart. Those signups you will see at the end of service. So we'll talk about that later. Right now, I need you to help me preach this morning. Can I have that microphone? Josh took off with the microphone. I'm going to use this one then. So we talked about serving. So what I would love for you right now, just really quickly, pop up, and tell me what you, how you serve at New Song Church here. And if you preach, I'm going to take the microphone away. But please, someone pop up, tell me where you serve. I'm not going to ask you too many questions. Okay, Denise, here we go.
Hi, I'm Denise. I serve by bringing goodies for Sunday morning once a month.
In the cafe once a month. Last time she brought wheel cheese and Madeline's. The snacks are embedded in my brain. So yes. All right, Barb.
My name's Barb. Yes. I serve in pantry on the fourth Saturday of the month, and also in small groups.
What do you do at the pantry, Barb?
We distribute food to our guests and clients.
Yes, I was hoping you'd say, I break a sweat in the dry goods room as I build boxes that go out to the cars. All right, Pete, stand up. I'm just going to pick on you because you're right here. What's your name?
Pete Weber.
And what do you do?
With Coach, or where, Coach, where are you?
Somewhere, he's hiding.
Mike England, oh, he's walking around. We set up easy ups every once in a while.
Every other Sunday, basically. Sunday, yeah. Today was Bear and Lionel.
Yes, they did a good job. Yeah. We're next the JVs, they're the varsity.
I love it. So you set up cafe.
Yes.
You do different things. Sunday morning, really early, about 9?
Pretty early.
Someone raise their hand over here. Okay, Ron. You're going to preach, I know it.
No, I'm not. No.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Ron. I do the, I work at the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I work over in the food pantry.
Yes.
I'm in charge of meat.
Yes, you are.
And directing the boxes and making sure everybody gets what they're supposed to get. I also help Daryl back here with the maintenance and the building around here and all the other projects we got going on around here too. And I don't know, what else do I do?
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But I like it when you're in charge of meat. All right, Gina.
Hi, my name is Gina, and what do I do? I forgot. No,
Gina.
I had it in my head what I wanted to say. I do treats once a month, and I also do laundry for every other month with the...
Be specific about what laundry you do.
The tablecloths.
The tablecloths.
After tablecloths. Soup Sunday, I pick up the messy tablecloths and I watch them.
Yes.
Along with Anne. She does it as the other
Yes.
Type.
So Anne and Gina, these tablecloths that you see on the bar stool tables are, they end up being messy after Soup Sunday. So they take them, they wash them, and they bring them back. All right, let's see. Grace, a couple more and then I'm going to run back up there.
Hi, good morning. My name is Grace, and I served with the pantry. Mm-hmm. I put the stuff with other, Robert. We help out and put the merchandise in their cars. And since we're bilingual, we talk to the mm-hmm. clients that come in, and we welcome them. And also, I came back to doing the Coffee Connect mm-hmm. and help them out too, as well.
Good. I was gonna say in Spanish, la especialidad que tenemos vos y yo es que hablamos español. Así que eso podemos comunicarnos con los recipientes del pantry. Yeah, I'll translate that later. Okay, who raised their hand here?
Hi, my name is Kathy, and my husband Mondo and I do the communion once a month, and we also serve snacks on the fourth Sunday. So on the fourth Sunday, we do communion and snacks.
So you're doing double duty.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you have ever eaten a bean and cheese burrito or a hash brown burrito, those come from Kathy and Mondo's place. Well, thank you. Would you give a round of applause to folks who jumped up today? So here's the thing. We have actually calculated, right? We have calculated. Could you go back to the slide with all the ministries here? We have actually calculated that about 80 to 85% of regular attenders and members volunteer for a ministry here at New Song. And that is something to be celebrated, yes? That is something to be celebrated. I could go around here to many of you and say, hey, listen, I know where you volunteer. I know where you volunteer. Let's talk about that. But it is something to be celebrated this morning. But there is always room for more. There's room for more. But I think the best person is not around the room with a microphone. The best person to look at this morning, the truest, most genuine person to look at as far as serving is concerned, will come by looking at Jesus himself and what he is commanded to do, what he has commanded us to do as far as serving others and serving the people right in front of us. So let's read. The first story I want to share is in Matthew chapter 14. As the evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." So imagine this picture, right? It's the end of the day and the disciples and Jesus are tired. And we can say, some of us from experience, we're just done with the day. You can resonate with this verse, right? They want the people, the crowds to go away, but they don't want to be the bad guys, right? So they tell Jesus, hey, you tell them to go away, okay? And let's see what Jesus says. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. Who should feed them? You give them something to eat. And I love this because not only is Jesus not telling them to go away, but he says, you serve them, you feed them, you're right here. You are right here. So then they say, well, we only have these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. and research says this is probably anywhere between 8,000 to 12,000 people, actually. So Jesus did not say, you know what, go into town, find some local bread makers, let's see what they got. He didn't say, hey, go get the women and have them cook it up. He didn't say that. That's my favorite part that he didn't say. He didn't say, go find someone else better suited to do this. He said, you give them something to eat. You are able-bodied. This job is not for anyone else. It is for you. And perhaps similar to how differently me and my kids were reacting to the lemonade stand, the disciples, they saw a problem. They saw a problem, but Jesus saw an opportunity. Jesus saw an opportunity. He didn't just stop there. The disciples picked up afterwards too. It says in verse 20, they all ate and they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus shows us here that serving is not really an option. It's a responsibility of those who follow him. And on top of that, disciples, if you want to be a leader, you start by serving first. And on top of that, you work together from start to finish, from feeding to cleaning up afterwards. And because the disciples served, they were able to be part and to witness a great miracle. Have you ever had an experience like that, where you show up and maybe you were part of something, a coffee connect, a small group, of something building in the garden, a pantry distribution. Maybe you were a part of something and you experienced something remarkable, and perhaps you were encouraged or blessed in some way just because you were there. This is exactly what is happening in the next story, in John chapter 2. Jesus and the disciples had been invited to a wedding, and on the third day of this wedding, guess what happens? The wine runs out. What a terrible, terrible tragedy. The wine is out. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, tells the servants to wait for Jesus and see what he does. So we pick this up, John chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And nearby stood, I can't read today. You know what it is? My eyes are fuzzy. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Now, again, I did a little research here. 6 jars of 20 to 30 gallons is 180 gallons. So I thought I'd give us a little visual here of jugs. Jugs of water. I can maybe carry like 3 of those at once, you know? But that's a lot of jugs of water, yeah? So he said, holding 20, 30 gallons of gun. In chapter 7, in verse 7, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water so that they are filled to the brim. And then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So who had witnessed this miracle? The people who were serving. Nobody else knew except the people who were carrying the jugs, sweating, I'm sure, going back and forth with all those gallons. But they were quietly behind the scenes, and they were obeying and doing what Jesus told them to do. So these two stories, the disciples with the crowd and the food and the miracle at this wedding, I think illustrate 3 very important points here. And I think sometimes this is what can be lost when we hear something that we have heard before. So I want you to hear these things, the 3 important points on this theme of serving one another. Number 1, serving one another is not an option, but a responsibility. Number 2, everyone from the disciples to the servants are called to serve one another. And by serving, you will experience something. So what does that spark for you, these three points? Serving is not an option. Everyone is called to serve. By serving, you will experience something. When you hear that, what does it spark for you? You know, there is command after command in the Bible to these things. John 12, 26, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. John 13, 15, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Matthew 20, 26, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The last story I want to share today is about serving the people right in front of us. Because yes, here at New Song, we have some wonderful, wonderful ministries that are for reaching outwards. As we've said before, we want these walls to be porous. Right? Porous. We've got incredible ministries that serve our schools, that serve our neighborhoods. We serve people who are struggling, people who are searching. We are serving people who just need to see the love of Jesus in action. And those ministries matter very deeply. But if we are not careful, we can sometimes miss the people right next to us, the people behind us, the people in front of us, the people in this room. I think sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's almost easier to serve strangers, would you say? Sometimes it's easier to serve strangers than people who might know us best, because it can be hard. It can be hard. It's more personal. It's more humbling. Some people might be harder for us than other people. It can be harder, but Jesus once said, in Mark 10, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he didn't leave anyone out of that sentence. He didn't leave anyone out of that sentence. So again, imagine this. The night before the cross, the weight of the world's sin on his shoulder, betrayal from his friends are just hours away. He knows what's coming. And what does Jesus do? John 13, 1 through 5. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. Does it say disciples? Does it say only his followers? Does it say any specific group here? It said, having loved those who were his own, which is everybody, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took out his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So he gets up from the table, he takes out his outer garment, he kneels down and begins to wash feet. Dirty, crusty, cracked, gross feet. This is what Jesus does in this moment. Feet that belong to men in just a few hours would leave him, would run the other way. Yet Jesus washes their feet, and he washes the feet of the man who will betray him. Can you imagine that moment? That moment where he's looking into Judas' eyes, and he knows what Judas has done, will do. He knows his heart, but he is kneeling, his water in his hands, gently scrubbing the feet of each of his disciples. This is serving the person next to you on display in the rawest, most undeservedly form. This is the model that Jesus gives us, and it's about doing something real. And sometimes real serving may not look the prettiest, may not feel the best. It can be humbling and it costs something. So who has God placed right in front of you to serve? Is there maybe someone or something to do that you have been maybe overlooking because you don't want to do it? I think sometimes when we hear serving, we think of doing stuff out there, but what if God's greatest invitation to you, to me, is to serve the people right in front of us, right next to us? So here's the challenge, as we have seen in the stories this morning. The challenge is that we are called to serve the people in our community around us. We are called to serve people in our community, and we are called to serve the people right in front of us through the ministries of our church. And I think, you know, the text this week said if the neighborhood around us were to look at New Song, could they say that we love our community well? And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. I think the community knows what we are about, and they are taking notice. But just as I said earlier, there is room to grow. There is that invitation to maybe jump in somewhere you've been thinking about. There is that invitation to invite a friend along to serve with you. There is that invitation. And not just the watching world will see this, but the people right around us will feel the power of serving one another in all of these ministries we have here at New Song. So this is a response to the commands that we just read in the Bible verses. We get to serve one another, and we get to give him the glory and honor in what we do. Amen? We get to serve one another in the name of Jesus, and we might see miracles happen. That is the hope. That is the prayer. We get to serve one another and be the hands and feet of Jesus in action, in tangible ways. And the hope is that we get to serve one another, and we will feel that joy and delight and wonder that it is to love someone other than ourselves. Other than ourselves. If these reasons don't spark wonder and joy in your heart, if these reasons are, you know, okay, that's great, if these commands from Jesus himself don't spark something in you, I would say to you, you should start serving immediately somewhere. You should start serving immediately, and I'm super serious about that. Because if your heart is hard, we should talk about that. We should talk about that. I think there are times, right, even us up here, we do get a little jaded, yes? We do get a little jaded on people, on all things. And the excitement and wonder can be a little foggy, can be a little foggy when we're dealing with just kind of everyday happenings. Last week, Grant and I, we were sitting in my office and we were kind of griping about something. We were having a little gripe session together one afternoon. And then it kind of hit us both at the same time. And we said, you know what? Stop talking. Let's just get out there. Let's go serve. Let's go do something. And the next morning, we were with our friends over at San Dimas Retirement Center. And it was a joy. Right, Tracy? Tracy was there. Ben goes with his piano. Grant wails on his guitar. We sing so loud when we're there. It's excellent. It was just a joy to serve. It's not in exchange for anything. We don't go to the San Dimas Retirement Center and say, hey, we need you guys to do this and this and this. No. We don't stand at our pantry doors and say, hey, we need you to show up at church 5 times before we serve you next. No, we don't do that. It's never an exchange for something. We are just called to serve. How someone else responds is up to them, but we are called to serve. So where do you start? Like I said, you know, a big percentage of our church is already serving. So to you, I'd say stick to it. Be faithful. Answer those emails that you get from Nancy, right? When she signs you up for something on a Sunday morning. Be faithful if you're serving in the kids, if you're serving in the garden, if you're serving at Coffee Connect. Be faithful to those things. But you know what? Don't let that stop you from jumping in somewhere else or for telling your friend next to you, you know, hey, have you ever thought, not in a condemning way for sure, but like, hey, have you ever thought about volunteering at the pantry? Have you ever thought about going to San Dimas Retirement Center? I think there are maybe a lot of hesitations and why we hold back, and maybe we just don't know where we'd best be used. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And maybe you're hesitant because time is a factor. You really don't have too much time other than Sunday morning. Well, guess what? You can still do something. Maybe, you know, you tried serving and it wasn't totally the best experience. We can say we've done that. Maybe it wasn't the best experience. Well, also, let's talk, because just because you volunteered in a ministry once before does not mean that you're tied to it forever and ever. As I said earlier, if you have a pulse and you are breathing, you can serve. That is the call. In John 12, 26, it says, if any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. You will be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. At a moment's notice, the Father will honor and reward those who serve me. Whatever your hesitation is, let's figure it out together. Let's figure it out together. We'd love to have these conversations because not everyone, right? I'm going to be my first to raise my hand in here. Not everyone is suited to be singing on a microphone Sunday morning. Yeah? Not everyone is suited to teach the children. Not everyone is suited for that. So where are you best used? What gifts and talents do you bring? Last week, Grant said that for the most part, in today's case, it is serving one another. For the most part, these things that we talk about, encourage one another, love one another, serve one another, are meant to have flesh and blood, hands and feet, an audible voice, and a physical presence in our lives. And those who follow Jesus have a responsibility to be a source of that to others. You are that flesh and blood. So what are you called to? Let's figure it out. Carolyn James, in her book that is called Finding God in the Margins and other great books, she said this: by creating us as his image bearers, God places us at the center of what he is doing in the world, not as spectators, but as kingdom agents and as leaders with responsibility for what is happening around us. Bottom line, anywhere we go, anything we do holds the possibility of serving God. From stewarding the earth's resources, feeding the hungry, or rocking a baby, according to Jesus, the slightest, most behind-the-scenes act of kindness doesn't go unnoticed. The potential for ministry is limitless. Serving one another is not an option, but a responsibility, and everyone is called to serve. And by serving, you will experience something. I can't wait to hear what that might be. I can't wait to hear what the word serve sparks for you. I could go on for another good while with stories about this ministry and that ministry and what happened at the garden and what happened at the pantry and what happened at small group and what happened at whatever the case may be. I love hearing those stories. Let's take this moment here and just pause and think about this. Serving is not an option, but a responsibility. Everyone is called to serve. And by serving, you will experience something. I pray that as we think about this, perhaps our joy can be like those four kids at the lemonade stand, with excitement, expectation. Do you think those kids made $400 on their own? No. God was in that. God was in that, and God will be wherever you are serving to. Whether you're on the front lines of serving, or you're simply serving the person right next to you, let this be our prayer today, that the Lord would spark wonder and delight in how we serve. And that the Lord would spark just joy and wonder, and perhaps give us a vision and really launch us into perhaps having a conversation with one of us pastors, with a ministry leader, about what we could do. We're going to respond with one of my favorite songs, because it says, "Take my life, Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my moments, take my days, take my silver, take my gold, take my intellect and use it as you would choose. Take my hands, take my feet, take everything about me, Lord, and use it for you and what you would do to bring honor and glory to your name." Because it's not about what we do, it's what God is doing through us. Amen? So let's respond with this song, and I'll be back up for communion. So as another response, we are going to take communion now together as a community. And just as we sing together and we pray, "Here am I, take my life, use all of me," this is another example of how when we do it in community, when we do it together, it's just better when we do it side by side. Everything we talked about this morning points us directly to this table, because at the heart of serving one another, at the heart of that is the one who served us first. The one who served us first. As we just talked about, the same night he knelt down to wash their feet, the same night he also took the bread and he took the cup and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he said he was showing them and showing us that the greatness is not found in ourselves, but that greatness is found when we give up ourselves completely for what God's purpose is. It's not found in being served, but in serving. And real life comes from that. So when Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you, this is my cup poured out for you," he served us with his life. So as we come to the table today, if this is how you so choose to live your life right now, if you are on this journey of trying to figure this out, you don't have to dust yourself off to come to the table. You don't have to. What did the verse say? It said, if you want to serve, follow me. It doesn't say clean up first, be completely blameless. It says follow me. And as we come to this table, come as servants who are so deeply loved. And whether you've served your whole life, maybe you're feeling a little bit of burnout and you have nothing left to give, come to the table. Come to the table. The invitation is the same. Come, eat, remember, because here at this table, we are all served by Jesus. So join us at the front or at the back, and we will you in a moment. Hold your communion. We'll take it together. You know, I have this very, very, very old worship guide. I have a picture of it there for you. From New Song on the Lawn. Who remembers that galaxy far, far away? Yeah. New Song on the Lawn. I think there's a picture here to show. And God bless you, Stephen, my brother. Thank you for being a servant. I put his communion on the side there. I have this very old worship guide from this land far away. Can you see it? And it's on the bulletin board in my office that sits right next to my desk. And it has the same story. I don't know if you can see it. It has the same story of the loaves and the fishes miracle. And this, to me, serves as a simple reminder. And it hits me every time I see this. Because I wrote down here, I said, no matter what, Lord, take my nothing and make it something. Basketfuls of service to you, even when it's hard. That was a hard time, yeah? That was a hard time. And I underlined afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Because I believe that when we are serving Jesus with a true and genuine heart and we are asking him, Lord, fill the baskets. Lord, show me where to go. Show me where to serve. Jesus will answer that and give us leftovers. And it also reminds me that every task, every job, everything I do and you do in the name of Jesus is a holy service to our Lord. The same Lord that serves so many in so many ways, the people right in front of him. And it reminds us of the man who came to show us how to live and show us that he was willing to give up everything, his life. So I think that as we take communion, I can't help but think that this is the clearest reminder of all. Let's read the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I think as we continue on, as we sing this song, and we prayed this prayer together, we can also know that we belong to a family. A community. Because Jesus didn't leave anyone out. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve everyone. And what do we do? What do we do with a love like that? Well, we let it change us. Amen? We let it change us. We let that kind of love fill us. We let it overflow through us. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing this next song. But let's do more than just sing. Let's declare. And with every word we sing, let's sing with gratitude in us that there is no greater servant than Jesus Christ. Amen? There is no greater servant than Jesus Christ. Let's worship as we sing the love of God together. Let's sing.